Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need to update your window treatments with Window Images blinds and shades. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Plus, get them trimmed to width in-store for free. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Immediately to Hamilton, New Zealand, I welcome Professor Ruben Steff, International Relations at Waikato University. New Zealand in the South Pacific, New Zealand in security and trade embassies. Ruben, a very good day to you. Your new Prime Minister, Mr. Luxon, is on a tour. What is his mission? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Yes, Christopher Luxon is currently on a week-long trip throughout Southeast Asia, visiting Singapore, Thailand, and the Philippines. Two major objectives. One is trade, trade, trade. We are a trading nation. Southeast Asia have growing economies, and it's part of New Zealand's effort to deepen relationships, open doors, direct businesses there as part of strategic trade resilience. That's what our Ministry of Foreign Affairs is talking about. Essentially, we want as many doors open in case trade with Northeast Asia is hampered in some fashion or comes to a halt in the coming years, or Beijing decides to turn the screws on us for making political and strategic decisions they may not like. So Christopher Luxon is in these countries. He's taken a whole bunch of business people with him, and he is simply trying to deepen those connections. The second part of that is security. 60 to 80% of our trade goes through Southeast Asia. Anything that kicks off in the South China Seas, around the Philippines, would be of concern to us. We could be called on to play a role and to contribute in some fashion. So Christopher Luxon in the Philippines has just signed a new logistics supporting arrangement and a new status of forces agreement with the Philippines. This will increase interoperability and make it easier for us to contribute to things like, well, the upcoming US-Philippines military exercises that are about to take place. New Zealand will be an observer at those exercises, but in coming years, we may very well be an active participant. So trade, hive mind, and security, hive mind as well.
A puzzle in Europe. There's often talk of the military being hollowed out. Do you have the complaint in New Zealand?
Absolutely, John. About 30% attrition in the last few years. This is a result of salaries falling far behind the private sector. During COVID, our military is basically used to run MIQ facilities. That was for travelers and Kiwis coming here. And they've been, I think, just disheartened by a lack of funding in general. Infrastructure facilities here have been neglected and falling apart. There's been times when a number of our vessels, naval vessels, haven't been able to leave dock, where our military transport planes have had to stay on the sidelines, where they've broken down during prime minister visits to the region, Australia and so on. And we've actually had to, our prime minister has had to get lifts by other countries' planes. And this is coming to a head. Both this government, during the election, two of the three parties committed to increasing our military spending to 2% of GDP. At present, it's about 1%. But this has to be weighed up against cost of living concerns. This government is also talking about back to bread and butter, back to getting the economy going. So the upcoming budget this year will be very important, because people in the military across government are very concerned about the state of the military and the need for more military spending to rejuvenate the defense force in the next 5 to 10 years, to basically entirely replace the Navy. But whether this government will be able to find it, find the ambition and the room to actually start rebuilding the military is another matter.
We have sticky inflation here, in the grocery store especially. One way of telling the story is you can't get out of there without spending $150 and you still don't have dinner. Do you have anything similar in New Zealand?
Oh, 100%, John. We have had the same inflation, if not more than you guys have had. It's currently at about 4%. So it has been coming down from those post-COVID highs. Nonetheless, 4% is still pretty high. Our economy is low. We have a low productivity low productivity economy, one of the lowest in the OECD. And as I said, we're back into recession. So people are really feeling it. And you do see it at the supermarket.
The Prime Minister traveling to Thailand, a very promising, upbeat summary, looking to triple two-way trade by 2045. Is that pie in the sky, or is that something that can be done?
It's so difficult to know. I mean, these are stretch targets. These are targets to try get some ambition back into the government sector, to try get businesses out there in the region, to try maximize opportunities. I have no idea if that is possible. It sounds probably far too ambitious to me. I would say, though, bear in mind that this year, Luxon is also going to be going to India. There's the hopes eventually we can get a free trade agreement with him. He's going to go to Indonesia, South Korea, Japan, the US and UK. So he's going to have a full itinerary, and trade is going to be a big part of all those visits, as will the security piece.
I see a headline about immigration. Now, that is our problem as well. Do you have immigration difficulties, and is it being checked?
Difficulties, it's a bit different, difficult to assess that. Last year, though, was our largest inward wave of net immigration ever, over 100,000 people. That's in total net gain, offsetting the loss of about 70,000 Kiwis leaving. That was about 2.5% of our population, as I understand it, came in as immigration last year. And that is considered unsustainable. The government has just said that, and that they're going to tighten visas. They're going to make it a bit harder to get short-term temporary work permits, and they want to target highly skilled, educated immigrants especially.
And do you need immigration for low-skilled jobs? The way this country started, we had open door for unskilled labor, and then pretty soon they were owning businesses. Does that happen in New Zealand?
It does to a degree. We have a very large primary sector. You know, dairy agriculture is a big part of the economy. So lots of just manual skills are needed for things like, you know, fruit picking, working on farms and so on. So there is quite a lot of low-skilled immigration that comes in. But as I said, there's also quite a bit of high-skilled immigration for secondary school teachers, nurses, doctors. So the government does try to calibrate it. But large inflows have also been the norm, really, for the last few decades. New Zealand's population has increased a lot. Something like 26% of our population were not born in New Zealand. So we are becoming increasingly diverse, multicultural and so on. And this puts pressures on our infrastructure, house prices and so on. So the government's just trying to find a way, how can we manage this in the long term? Especially because if our economy isn't in good shape, you bring in immigrants to try juice the economy. But of course, you've got to invest in the infrastructure to make it manageable. And then there's all the issues around national identity, which New Zealand is also trying to grapple with right now. Is it a bicultural nation, a multicultural nation, and so on?
And the billionaires, we've had a conversation about some famous people. Where are they? Where is James Cameron, the director? I mean, the man's turning out genius after genius, and he's in New Zealand. Where is he?
James Cameron is somewhere in the North Island. I can't tell you exactly where, but individuals like him, also Peter Thiel, you can kind of buy your way into New Zealand citizenship if you have enough money. And the agreement is that they bring money into the country. James Cameron, of course, has made some of his movies here. So that is, you know, contributing to the economy, to the studio sector, the movie sector. It gives us international marketing buzz when those movies are broadcast all across the world. You see beautiful New Zealand landscapes. There's also sometimes an agreement where they are meant to invest some money into New Zealand industries as well. I don't know to what extent Cameron has done that, obviously, through movie studios and so on. Peter Thiel, I don't know what he has done, but there was a controversy a few years ago where in very short order he managed to get New Zealand citizenship. No one quite knows what the arrangement was, but the idea, I think, is that some money is being flows into the New Zealand economy.
Ruben Steph, Waikato University, Hamilton, New Zealand. I'm John Batchelor.
Save big money on everything for your next bathroom project. Now at Menards. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.